beautiful morning to you there. Thank you so much for choosing J101.9 FM. You're on to the show Let's Talk, your political, social, political and current affairs show right here in the City of Jos. Another brand new day. It is a Wednesday, the 29th of November 2023. Another good day to be alive. My name is Abigail Seaman and I never get to work alone. Emeka Omisi is right here. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Abigail. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Wonderful Wednesday morning. Nigeria is Nigerian, like we often say. But most importantly, you are there. You are here listening to us. You are alive and well. And you have hope. No matter how bleak the situation might seem, no matter how terrible it might feel, no matter how distraught you might feel, you have hope. And that hope is what will keep you going. Good morning.
Well, talking about hope, the president, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, to Nigerians has said present hardship is temporary, benefits will be permanent. And he said this, he said he was aware of their current pains, but he has assured that they were only temporary hardships meant to birth permanent gains. And he was speaking at the opening ceremony of the 2023 National Engineering Conference in Abuja. And he stated that the ongoing reforms were meant to secure the future of Nigerians. And he stated that about the program, he said it was organized, actually, he said it was organized by the Nigerian Society of Engineers, that Nigeria's problem was not its huge population, but its inability to enhance the potential of its vast population of young people. And my question is, who does the harnessing? Who is supposed to be doing the harnessing?
The government alongside private individuals. The government are supposed to provide the facilities.
Yeah.
The government is supposed to ensure that businesses can be run smoothly. The government are supposed to provide the roads, the network, the road networks, the power, the water, the housing, the basics that ensures that people do not have to think about these basics. Mm-hmm. The government is supposed to ensure that businesses who are running in states or who are running the country do not have to pay excess taxes, do not have to deal with security every single time. The government is supposed to ensure that these things are done, that loans are easily accessible, not to the powers that be, not to those who know people, but to those who genuinely have businesses to run. The government are supposed to ensure that the civil service works and works effectively, and that people are employed gainfully and are productive in the civil service. Yes, there's a part of the private individuals, the part of businesses, but the government does play a huge part in it, because from the policies to the developments of basic amenities, the government takes responsibilities for that. And so when they say that Nigeria is not harnessing its youthful population, the question is, are the government doing their part to ensure that the youths are employed as they should be?
It's not just about, a lot of them will give you the excuse, and we're putting them in our cabinets, we are allowing them be chairs or part of a board or all of that. I would say maybe that can be tiny, itsy, let's just say 6% of the harnessing work done, or let me be nice and say 10%.
No, it's not even up to 10%.
It's never enough.
It's never enough. Because we have, I think we have a young population. My numbers might be wrong, but our young population should be around 70 to 80 million, right? Something around that figure. If Nigeria is about 200 million people, and young populations are more than 60% of us, so it means that, give or take, we are like, say, 120, give or take, young people. Now, let's say the ones who can work, who can earn, let's say they're like the 100 million or 80, 90 million. Now, how many millions can you employ in the SSEs? And that's one, too. I also think Nigeria's problem is that we are not productive people. Not that we don't know how to work, but we don't have systems that ensure, especially in government enterprises, we don't have systems that ensure that people are as productive as they should be. And several times on this platform, we've talked about, you know, civil service and the lackadaisical attitude that civil servants have to their job. We've talked about how you go to, you know, civil service or civil service offices in the state or in federation, and you don't meet people there. And even when you meet them there, they ask you for money to do the job they get paid for. Exactly. You get people who want to get federal government job, air quotes, because, hey, they can always do their side businesses and then collect salaries at the end of the month. We get people, ghost workers in their millions in organization. We get people who can just, you know, bring their friends, family, neighbors, cousins, aunties, and just put them in a place in civil service, and they do absolutely nothing. People who have no idea what should be done. So these are the problems. The problems with Nigeria is endemic. And if we can start from the basics, and that's why sometimes I find it hilarious and somewhat, you know, disrespectful when government people, the presidents, you know, senators and House of Rep say things like tighten your belt, say things like you guys should do though. You demand of people things that if you took the lead on will be easier for them to emulate, and even if you make penalties, it will be less, you know, distraughting or painful when you enforce those laws. So for example, a senator says, oh, Nigerians should be a lot more hardworking, Nigerians should tighten up their belts. And then you look at his number of staff, and you look at the bloated number of staff he has, and you ask yourself, what are these people even doing in that office? What are their job descriptions? And then you probably will go to the payroll and realize that 20-30% of the people in the payroll have nothing doing there. They are just friends and families of his, or friends and families of his friends and families,
yeah,
that needed a job and they added them to the payroll and the government pays them. So again, we cannot talk about productivity from the head, from the bottom. Let's start from the head. We just recently, the ministers appointed by the president, in the presidency that said they wanted to, you know, cut down costs and ensure that we get ABC right, has appointed more ministers than anybody.
We keep expanding it.
The last time, I think when we had, Professor Shaya Pam here, we're talking about how we should, you know, some ministers should be broken down and some, you know, should be merged together. Mm. That meant that we would probably have lesser ministries. We have more ministers than we have in any government. We're having SSAs appointed every day. Like every day, if you check the newspapers every 2 days, there's an SSA somewhere. Mm. The random things are being done, random monies are being spent for the most random of things. So again, productivity cannot get better if the government on its part is not even focused on productivity. We cannot talk about Nigerian youth doing the work when consistently the people who are in charge, and I say this not to disrespect or to disparage any other person, but there's no way a nation like Nigeria's can get better if the politicians are not honest enough. We can always talk about, you know, citizens' participation, which is very important. We can always talk about businesses, which are very important. Mm. But the politicians are the ones that set the tone for everything. They make the policies. They enforce the law. They are the ones that say, hey, this thing would not happen and it will not happen. We've seen in states where governors have been firm on certain things and things changed. So again, if the people in charge are not willing to take the first step in ensuring that productivity increases in their own tiny spaces as senators, as commissioners, as ministers, as governors, as presidents, I think we'll keep going in circles. Nigerian youth can only do as much. And the funny part about leadership is that the leadership very much reflects what the people think is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is a very fine relationship with leadership and followership. What the followers do influences the leader. But most times, because of how influential leadership is, it means that if the leaders do right, it is almost impossible for the followers not to do right.
Yeah.
But if the leaders consistently do wrong, it is easier for the followers to do wrong.
You hear them say, Oga did it, so I
can't. So why can't I do it?
And that's the mentality that we have, that our leaders don't see that a lot of people look at them, watch what they're doing. The same way you have people look at celebrities or idols and emulate the things that they do.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for our leaders. And when it comes to leadership, it's about people who are following you hook, line, and sinker. Whatever you do, whatever leg you put in front is what they will do. So when they get into positions too, you find them behaving like their bosses. And if you have a boss who is probably one who really doesn't care, who is more concerned about making sure his stomach infrastructure is well fed, where he's thinking of, oh, I just want to buy properties here and there,
yeah,
and not think about you, you are definitely going to replicate that when you also become a leader.
Oh, definitely.
And as we always say, yeah, we have our leaders spend so much money to campaign, spend so much money to do a lot of things so that they get your vote and you vote them into power. A lot of people would maybe argue with the point that I want to say, but when you give out such money, you definitely want to make it back.
But here's the problem.
Mm.
The problem I have is that when you trace, and this is something that I think Nigerians might not be talking about enough.
Mm.
When you trace back the history of these people who spend this money, Where did they get it from?
I think that's the initial, permit me to use the cocoa,
because the crux of these politicians, a lot of them had no business before.
Who were they?
They were nobodies before. So again, the monies they are so-called monies they are spending, where are the monies they had looted prior?
Where is it coming from?
I think that Nigeria as a country, our politicians as a people, like many people have said and agreed to, understand that we can be quite docile. Understand that, you know, anything goes, whatever goes, it happens.
Sometimes it's for Nigerians, when people talk about the docility of Nigerians and the lackadaisical attitudes of Nigerians, well, yes, I would say at a certain level we are docile, but at the same time it gets tiring. It almost seems like you are now an empty barrel making noise. It now almost seems like you're just bickering for nothing, because you hear people, when you talk about these things, for example, we hear Seraph say, we are probing this, we are probing that, we are probing this, we are probing that, and we are like, war rest. Let's all find rest. So you get Nigerians who are big up on or advocates for good governance. When they talk sometimes, yes, you can hear us, let me use it in Wiki's word, you are shaking your head there, you are nodding, you are agreeing with me. You're probably agreeing with you, but it's what exactly they want to do that they do. Some of them do listen and try to put effective changes here and there, but for some, it's almost like you're talking to a brick of wall.
I also think that... we've gotten here because we have lost, some people are still saying, I don't believe it wholly that we don't have an identity. We do have an identity. As much as, you know, we have Igbos, Yorubas, and different tribes, we do have an identity. If you want to know if Nigerians have identity, watch them when they play sports. If you want to know Nigerians have identity, watch them when things happen. When there's a person against Nigeria, you know, if we do that, oh, we identify as Nigerians. However, what I think we have lacked, and it has continued to grow, is that we haven't addressed underlying biases and ethnic and religious lines that divide us. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the political class have found a way to very much leave us uneducated. If you speak to the average Nigerian out there, and you ask them average questions about politics, average questions about rational thinking, average questions about logic, they do not know it. Not because they are dumb, but because they've consistently been numb to thinking outside of themselves. I give a typical example.
Yeah.
The issue with what is happening in Plateau State with the governor being sacked, APC and the PDP, one would expect that despite all of this, that the core of the conversation would move past political parties and go to governance and people and character and what should be done.
Thank you.
But even till today, people are still hung up on political party affiliation. Just recently on Twitter, somebody was saying something about, oh, you should come together in the state to come together to work and to ensure that the things get better. And I see it as the most unrealistic thing, not because young people are not smart, but because even the smart young people, supposedly smart young people, are so hung up on political affiliations that you cannot even have an honest conversation about issues.
You're going to struggle to break that barrier of political party affiliation. When you talk, they will say, oh, you're attacking a certain political party. And when you're trying to bring up ideas that would benefit everyone, it's almost like, where are you? What party does you belong
to?
It's almost like before you speak, they want to first profile you by what party you belong, quote unquote, you belong to. And we are forgetting that before there was party, we the people were there.
Definitely. Oh, we are the foundation of anything politics.
Of anything. So when would we ever get to a point where I'm not thinking, oh, you're a member of a certain political party, or Mr. B is a member of a certain political party? When do I take that aside and say, you know what, let's meet at the center. Let's think about the people. Let's think about policies that will benefit the people. Let's think about developments that will benefit the people. Let's think about infrastructure. Let's think about everything. But it's more or less you are from there. And
it's funny. It's also funny.
It drives us backwards.
Of course. And any conversation that is not open, any conversation that doesn't look at matters as they are, not as you think they should be, would always take you backwards. Mm. And also think that when it comes to, you know, Nigerians and the state, a lot of times until things get dire and you cannot breathe anymore is when we speak. People have this sunk cost fallacy where I have invested so much in this person, therefore I cannot say bad about them, right? So I'll give an example. Yeah. I might be wrong, so someone please correct me if I'm wrong. Some months ago, the presidency gave palliatives to states.
Yeah.
Months after, I can say many people have asked me, where are these palliatives?
Where are these palliatives? What is the time frame for sharing?
We never see anything.
We've not seen.
Some people got rights in some local government, but for 5 billion, is that what they'll get? The fertilizers, we don't know if that has been shared or if they would never share it. Now, these are the questions on the table. However, because certain people have this, oh, I voted for this party and it would be wrong, quote unquote, talk about what my party is not doing, so they'd rather keep mum and pretend it's not there.
But you're for to be reasonable, you're not doing the party any good.
Oh,
If you're not speaking up. You're not even doing yourself any good if you're not speaking up. You're not doing your community any good if you are not doing it. So just because, I'll give an analogy. So just because you as an individual have running water in your house, it's like sometimes people love the idea when everybody rallies around them.
Oh, like the Messiah complex.
Messiah complex. And it's in your house that everybody's fetching water. What would it take you to say, you know what, why don't we channel all these pipes to each and everyone's house? Every individual, so everybody gets water. But because it's your party that is ruling, or is your guy that is the head, you really do not want to say anything, because you are also, it still boils down to the selfish interest that we talk about, personal interest. It's because you are benefiting one way, some way or the other. You don't want to be the one to say, oh, you're not doing well. You don't want to be the one to say, I'm pointing fingers, I'm saying, I'm pointing arrows. And you also do not want to be tagged as the you-too-know kind of person.
Yes.
Or the hater. The hater. You're always coming, you're always bringing, you're always on the other side of the divide. But at the end of the day, it is the lives of people that are affected. At the end of the day, it is still we that would still face the consequences of all of these things. It's still us that would still ply that bad road, okay, and come down with back aches. It's still the same us that would feel unsafe. We can't afford mopos. We can't travel with a convoy. Can you?
No, we can't.
We can't. We all can't do that. We all can't afford that. So why not speak up and let the so-called party you belong to, let them know, oh, this is what you people are not doing right. Let's get it right. I think the essence is about getting it right, not about... It's sometimes it's sad to talk about it, because I just feel like we're supposed to be forward thinkers. We're supposed to be moving ahead, but we are still dwindling in the same old vicious circle.
Yeah, we're just in
over and over and over again.
In the worst of the
technology. And I'm sure even in 2027, it'll still be the conversation of the day.
It's still the same thing. I also believe that as a people, we would have to be a lot more intentional about what we want as a people. Mm. We would have to be a lot more intentional about the kind of questions we ask politicians. We have to be a lot more intentional about how accountable we hold them to. I get that people are still trying to deal with their life, because you are trying to hustle and put food on your table. Scrutinizing the budget is not top of your list, I'm sorry. You are still trying to get food on your table. Whether the water comes from government, there's this thing where you are always in survival mode that you can't even think of anything else. And I think that's where we are. However, the onus therefore falls on the privileged. And this is where I very much do not, I like the idea that Nigerian intellectuals are not doing enough. Are they doing something? Yes. But they're not doing enough. I'll give an example. We have Nigeria's economic situation as terrible as it is. One would expect that, for example, University of Jaws, Polytechnic here, they would have symposiums where lecturers and professors of economics would have conversations with students and people of the community to talk about this budget, to break it down, to, you know, have honest conversations and talk about policies, talk about theories and what possibly could happen.
And for the students, more concerned about the so-called student loan that we don't know what's next.
We are not having the kind of conversations because, quite honestly, we seem to be a very dull nation. And I hate to say this, so I don't come across as elitist, but we seem to be a dull nation, because one would expect that in a country where the kind of things that are happening, the level and the height of conversations and the volumes of these conversations will be so loud and most likely be spearheaded by, you know, ivory towers of knowledge. But it seems as though our ivory towers of knowledge they're no longer...
I'm probably tired.
They're not towers, man. They're just small walls and they'll soon break off, right? And that's why... I feel personally that our political class have been so strategic in the things they do, such that they've made professors and lecturers and doctors so dependent on the peanut they get, that the thought of speaking against the government consistently is almost dead.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they speak about against the government and most likely their salaries, because they have to feed. They have so beaten our system down that even students whose job it is to lead conversations, and I say this because when you go back through histories of Nigeria, look at the days of Chinua Achebe and Wole Soyinka, many of the conversations had were spearheaded in those universities. Many of the revolutions had in countries even were spearheaded by conversations being held in universities, in polytechnics, in colleges of education. Those changes were from people who were immersed in the body of knowledge that they fully understood and could relate it with the everyday reality. But what we have these days is people who even talk about these things sometimes, not all the time, are not fully immersed in it. And the people who you expect to know about it and to have a better idea about
deep knowledge about
they either are not concerned about it or they have other things they are bothered about. So it's a very endemic problem. And for a person who very much believes that education is the bedrock of every society, I think that if we would ever get out of this political numbness, ever get out of this Nigerian dullardness, I'm sorry to use that word, it's not the correct word, however, we would have to start from the schools. Would have to start from where young people in secondary schools and primary schools are not thinking of fraud as the sole way of making money.
Yeah.
Would have to move past where university students can actually write their names and write it properly, where they can actually spell their names
properly,
where they can have conversations about issues in the country without sounding like people from Pluto.
And also, they can also get to a point where they don't have to shunt the line even at schools. They don't have to not be in class and tell their friend from at home to write their names
for them
in the attendance list when they're not there.
I'm looking for the right word, but I think Nigeria's problem, like we always see here, it's quite cyclical. You know, some people have different reasons or different solutions to the problem. You know, in the words of our favorite caller on the show, she says true federalism is the only way. Is the only way to go. Some people would say, you know, we have to be united. And I think for me, education obviously plays a very major role in all of this. And I'm hoping again that in the budgets of these people, it's reflective of what Nigeria's problem is. But again, if you look at Nigeria's budget for this year, I haven't seen 2024 budget, so I can't say. If you look at the state's budget, for example, for this year, you can very much tell where the priority is. We have I think it's the show-off problem, where presidents and governors believe that the best way to show working is to build flyovers and bridges and roads. Why those things are important? Those are not the most important thing for development. And I keep saying it because we are at a point where the foundation doesn't even exist. And if the foundation of a society doesn't exist, nothing you build on it can stand. The foundation of every society is human development.
When you have these politicians, especially during the time of campaigns, where they come and they tell you what their manifestos are, vote for me, I will give you light, vote for me, I will turn things around, vote for me, I'm the Messiah that you never thought you had, or the Messiah that was missing and is about to be found, and all those words to sway the minds of people. I think people are easily carried with the whole facade of, oh, it sounds beautiful. At that point, I wish campaigns were not as large as it was. You know, you have a lot of people. I wish campaigns were like, oh, I'm going to sit down and it's going to be like a discourse. When I say I'm going to give you light, somebody's going to raise up their hands and say, excuse me, sir. How do you intend to do that? And when they say it out and you like the the meetings they had in Chatham Houses, the different presidential candidates. I think that is what campaigns should be like, where they sit and say, okay, this is what I want to do. And someone says, excuse me. But our campaigns are more like festivals, are carnivals.
I think we can have both. We can have carnivals.
Yeah, actually, we can, have carnivals. I feel like the one where we get to ask them questions, because we say, how do we ask them questions? How do we do this? How do we do that? If we start from making our their campaigns that way, yes, have the carnival, maybe one day, the next day,
you have the conversation
and you ask them pertinent questions. You said, sir, when you came yesterday, you said this is what you're going to do. How do you intend to do it if we vote you and you become our leader?
Nah, we can't. We don't ask. And I think that with regards to us asking questions before they get elected and during campaigns, one of the biggest problems I've realized is that Nigerians think that question asking is a terrible thing.
And it's right from kindergarten, when you want to raise up your hand, like, you say, keep quiet.
What do you want to see as small as you are. Right? So we don't have a culture of asking questions, asking critical questions. Secondly, we don't even, and I say this not to, again, I like to come out and, you know, put a caveat, not to disparage anybody, but the recent presidential campaigns in the country this year, some would say in the recent times, was one of the most engaging. At least we had Atiku and Peter Obi who were having conversations, right? Prior to that, we had, you know, Atiku having conversations with himself because Buhari would not speak because, of course, he doesn't want to speak. He's too big for us. Mm-hmm. And then we had Peter Obi and, you know, former president Yemi Osinbajo having conversations. But this time we had Atiku at least, you know, have more conversations than normally would have. We had Peter Obi having conversations. We had the likes of, you know, Omoyele Sowore. We had the likes of Kingsley Moghalu. They had some conversations. But I think beyond those conversations, one of the problems we have is we haven't, not like we don't know, but I think we haven't outlined what our core problems are. Mm. Some of them we know. For example, I know very heavily in the campaigns of the Labour Party and the PDP, one of the things they made mention of course, they had different opinions, was about the economy and what they would do to the economy. Somebody was saying, hey, I'm going to sell some of some stuff, you know, do a lot of PPPs. Another person was saying, hey, I'm going to make governments a lot cheaper, cut down cost of governance. I'm going to ensure that every region, you know, has a strength and I'll build on those strengths, right? Every of those persons had theirs. We also saw during the campaigns that the current president, you know, definitely, of course, refused to talk to us because according to his handlers, the Nigerian media was against him and they were not asking honest questions. Mm-hmm. They wanted to just attack him and get at him. And even though that excuse holds water, but again, my question is, if you're in a country you want to lead, do you expect everybody to love you?
Not everyone will love you.
If you're going to come to the media to answer questions and you think you're honest, then you should come to answer questions whether or not they hate you or they love you. Everybody cannot hate you, right? Everybody cannot hate you. Go to the place where you think, air quote, that they are neutral. Let them ask you those questions. So we had a campaign where the powers that be did not think that we are good enough to ask questions and for them to answer those questions. And so when they get into power again, the idea that they owe us cannot be there. If you never felt like we deserved your answers, you definitely do not feel like when you get there, we deserve anything from you. Because, like, I didn't need your question-answer segment to get here. I don't need your approval to stay here.
Neither do I need your approval to do what I want to do.
So it's that long that, again, like we mentioned from the start, the people in charge, the leaders, would have to take the lead. They would have to be at the forefront of being the ones to change things. Lastly, after the election, Peter Obi, candidate of the Labour Party, for 2-3 months, maybe more, was having monthly conversations on X with his followers. Some would say, hey, because he was not the president. And that's not true.
No.
Because when he was the governor of Anambra State, he was having monthly question and answer segments on TV with his citizens. Now, he might not do it monthly, but you can almost tell that he would interact with the people. Now, some would say, how does interaction help? Does it change anything? Yes, it does. Governance, like Dr. Reddy said something here yesterday, talked about Bangida and, you know, the gap he created between the governed and the governed and those who are governing. I think that's a problem with democracy too. If you look at the most democratic systems, especially in Africa, the difference between the governed and the governed and the people governing are so wide. Because
the gap is wide.
Because the idea, a lot of times, with African democracy is not to give the people what they want. is so that those at the top, at the top of the pyramid, would just stay there and just suck the life out of you all. That's the idea. Africa's democracy has not weaned itself from military dictatorship. And that's what we fail to understand.
There's still an aura. There's still that. I'm looking for the word and I can't find it, but I will just stick with the aura. It's still there. You still have that cologne on our clothes.
We can't say. Look at African democracies. Let's go to Gabon. Let's go to Mali. Let's go to Niger. The only one some can even say to an extent there's some level of democratic process, maybe South Africa, maybe Ghana, maybe Liberia. And you say, if for a continent that has more than 56 countries or so, how many can we say from the top of our head practice democracy as it should? Yeah. Even in South Africa, do not practice as best. But hey, when you compare them to Nigeria, like, yo, you guys are doing a lot. You guys are superstars, right?
Far better than we are.
You look at Liberia, recent election, like how you guys are superstars. You look at Ghana, maybe you guys are better. And that for me is, just moving past Nigeria, is that Africa as a continent, either democracy doesn't work for us, or we just shall no one leave military. Because for heaven's goodness sake, how does in a democratic system, every single time the presidency brings a budget, then they always pass on.
They don't scrutinize it. They don't ask questions.
They go increase them.
I remember when the 10th Assembly came up and we're arguing with the fact that we're not like the 9th Assembly. Yeah. We're not rubber stamp. Yeah. We're not this. We're not that. Trying to give us a benefit of doubt why they are the best thing after fried rice. You get...
No, jollof rice, please.
Why are you after my fried rice? Well, they wanted to sell that idea. But me looking at it, in the news today, as we read one of the headlines, that the president seeks Senate approval for $8.7 billion and €100 million loans approved by the previous government. And a lot of people are asking, why are we still borrowing? Can the Senate act, okay, from the monies that we claim, or they claim, I don't want to use the word we, the federal government is claiming to be saving.
No, they are not saving, no.
From the removal of subsidies.
No, they are not saving, no.
Where is the...
They are not saving.
They are sending it to states.
The government is not saving. Are you trying to play devil's advocate? No,
now.
I'm serious. The government say they are sending it to states. And they states have also acknowledged
that they are getting it.
And that's where the states coming.
So they need to... The state needs to ask states that are getting extra money. I remember that the states also... are owing.
Oh, plenty money.
Plenty.
Oh, recently the state they will not even take loan for them, gone.
Thank you.
Remember that Paris loan took for them that year that you had to struggle. You are still paying it now. States are not paying that loan though.
They are not. And we are still acquiring.
We are still acquiring more loans. The state I think, you know, again I hate to be in support of Inyaboyeji, but I'll have to say
at the moment
I have to say this. The presidency is, you know, the federal government are doing their part, you know. Terrible decisions almost. But the states are also doing terrible things. I'm going to say this with all sense of respect.
We're more very fixated at the top. No, and we're forgetting the states.
The states, so for example, the states say, they don't say, the accounts show that they are getting more federal allocation. Can they tell us, honestly, how this extra federal allocation has been used? Because here's the thing. Mm. Before the year starts, there's a budget, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So the budget usually is created with an idea of how much FAC will be. Most times, I want to believe, again, please, anybody that has better understanding should correct me, the differentials between what can and what cannot be most likely not even at 50-20%, so that we're not running out of stuff, right? Of course, the only time when we had a lot of differential was in COVID-19, 2020, because of what happened. So it means that there's a budget. And the budget means that, oh, there are things we should be doing, because no government just comes in and just start doing whatever they want to do, right? Even if you want to change things, you have to change things based on what is on ground, how much money we are going to get. Now, if you're getting extra money from the states, from the federal government,
yeah,
what are you doing with those extra monies?
Are you?
Is there a different project you are doing with those extra monies?
What project
are they? And these are the questions we are not asking. The states that get these extra monies, what are they doing on their parts to even get monies?
What's the revenue?
Are the states concerned about revenue as much as they should? Are they doing, and again, I'm not just saying just the Plateau State, so I don't come across as a hater, to all states across.
They hold 36 states.
You, for example, you look at Abia State. I'm going to use one that many people know of, and you can see evidence. Mm. And you look at the projects the governor is doing. Some would say, oh, these projects are just, you know, fake projects, blah, 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 blah. But people who stay there say, oh, these things are real, and they're affecting our lives positively. Mm. And my question is, if a governor in a state like that, that many of us, if you look at the books in Abia State prior to Alex Otis, you know, emergence, was terrible. I know people who lived in Abia State and family and friends who still stay there prior to this and went, man, Ikpeazu was killing us to the bones. Now, if that governor can do these things for the state, right, with the monies he's getting, it means that there's a very high possibility that states can do more, especially states that are not, quote unquote, legacies and, you know, the big states, as it were. You know, states like, you know, Kogi, states like Oyo. You imagine that extra monies would mean they can do extra work. Now, if we are getting these monies, what are they doing with them? And due to round up all of this, I also believe that the reason why the federal government takes a lot of the loans it takes, and the reason why it's easy for it to take the, do these things it does, is because first, the states are not doing their job. If the states are doing their job, there's a whole lot the federal government will not have to do. That's one.
Sure.
Two, the legislators from the states who are supposed to speak up for the people of their states are not also doing their jobs. So they can't even question the presidency and say, ah, this money is too much. I'll give another very good example. Here in the state, Plateau State, the recently approved budget for 2024, the governor has sent a certain amount to the House, and the House increased it. In 2023, the federal government, the presidency, sent a sent a budget to the National Assembly. The National Assembly members, let me tell you, they bickered over National Assembly budgets more than they did about education or health. They're like, our money's small. They had to increase their money because the president said, yo, you guys are taking too much money from the budget. I'm going to reduce it. They're like, no, that was what they bickered about. So again, when we talk about the presidency and as faulty as it can be in this part of the world, I think the most critical part of our problem is that the people who are the other, I won't use the word conduit, but who are part of the value chain of governance are as terrible as the top. The state governments are as terrible as the top. The legislators are as terrible as the top. So you cannot hold the presidency like, look at your governor. You didn't do anything. No. Governor, like, look at your representative.
Your representative.
It's all encompassing. So again, why we say president do your work, and the governor's doing their work.
I think everyone should just do your job, okay? Because we will not make myself and Emeka be talking here for hours. And you can be a part of the conversation this morning. Head on to all our social media platforms. On Facebook is facebook.com/JFMJoss. Off X at JFMJoss. On Instagram also at JFMJoss. And we're also at YouTube at JTVJoss. We're just asking you what stories you are following at the hour. And don't forget the numbers to call 090-55-666-699 or 081-218-7777. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Lady Abigail and Mr. Emeka.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
This is Pastor Henry J.J. Dewey, known as Young T of Doncaster.
Young T, go ahead.
Yes, I want to appreciate you for taking your time to analyze what is happening in Nigeria. You know, it is very unfortunate that year in, year out, we are talking. It seems there is no change. Simply because we have leaders who are not patriotic enough to change the narrative of this country. You know, how can a government borrow money to settle themselves, their families, and their friends? You know, day in, year out, government are borrowing money, and Nigerians are not seeing changes, are not feeling the dividends of democracy. And these people come with all sorts of promises. You understand? You know, I want Nigerians to wise up. I want Nigerians to wise up this time around. Understand? Because we know what we are doing. The fact that we are keeping quiet does not mean that we don't know what we are doing. And the government seems to stop people from protesting. Protesting is the best way to show our grievances. And whenever people come out to protest, the government is looking for a way to mute people, to make people not to talk on what is happening in this country. Sometimes when I begin to analyze how Nigeria is going, I will say, who has bewitched us? How did we get here? Why is it that we don't have leaders who have national interest, Nigeria first before sensational interest. This thing is bothering you. Is it a mistake to be in Nigeria? Why
definitely
can't
not
do
a mistake,
right,
but we'll get it right.
God will help us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Young T, for your contribution this morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where you're calling us from?
My name is Chukwudi, calling from Malaysia.
All right, Chukwudi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Chukwudi. Good morning, Emeka.
Emeka, sir.
Okay. Even if you don't want to answer my question.
Good morning.
I want to
have
your number, your personal number, please.
All right,
please, if you don't mind, please, this is my number. I think I'm better for you than I would have to do this to you. Secondly, you see, the president from the beginning of the program talked about the president saying that can you understand the sufferings of Nigeria?
Mm.
Yes, understand that the hardship is actually getting to the climax, if you ask me, from the statement. The question of Martin as a Nigerian as an expert is that what is he doing about it? Because this is the same thing the former president, the former ruler, Muhammad Buhari, told us that he knew that Nigeria was suffering. He never did anything for Nigeria. Suffering keep on multiplying and increasing. You're going from bad to worse. Today now, we are thinking that somebody who have gone to the has gone to school, at least, has taken a very mental leadership in Nigeria. But up to this particular moment, it's a difficult diagnosis. And so what happened in the time of former ruler Muhammad Buhari, the same thing that is happening today. And the same thing that Muhammad Buhari said, the same thing he said today. And in this part, we're forced to say that actually the style of leadership of the APC, because once the sun shines, Nigeria should understand that even though the party did not give the count when it comes to election, when it comes to leadership, but again, we are seeing it in this country that it's just becoming a recurring eczema, that Nigerians are suffering under your watch. The people in government are just enjoying. How can it be allocating billions of naira for your own personal use, and then the country cannot even boast of education, they cannot boast of water, common drinking water. They're not even talking about healthcare. They're not talking about employment. Inflation has gone to close to 30%. And Nigerians are still being totally rigid that they should give their debt, that they should understand they are suffering. Understand Nigerians are suffering and don't know anything about it. Are you also to spend for your best enjoyment? People are paying. If you want to play, container today is over 10 million naira. And you pay it for just 1 million, 500,000 naira.
No.
So today is over 10 million naira. And yet Nigerians will not be able to boast of anything tangible from your government. You look at taxes everywhere. Look at skyrocketing of even tuition fee. And they are still telling us to give our debt. Honestly, I think it is certain Nigerians are asking questions and reasonable questions and demanding for answers.
No.
The people that actually... That the solid system are the people at the top, people that cannot be able to give account of their stewardship when they're in the Niger Delta. Today they have become the senior president. How do you want this country to progress? People that are after elected to go and take a mess from the Senate, even while the legislation was going on. Later they were rewarded with the deputy senior president.
All right.
Tell me, how can the country
All right, Chukwudi, because of our time, thank you so much. All right, thank you so much, Chukwudi, for your contribution this morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, once again, Lady Abigail. This is Young T calling back.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, the reason why politicians respect people like us, I'm not boasting, you understand? The reason why they respect people like us, whenever we make a call, they pick a call. Whenever we want to see them, we see them simply because we stand for what is right. We don't compromise. I can see whatever politicians want. In fact, I tell you, PDP called me last year while I was in Abuja, soliciting for my support. I supported PDP on the plateau, not because of anything. In fact, I was not even considered as anybody. But I know my stand because I know I stand to do what is right. No politicians can bribe me. No politician has ever bribed me, and no politician will ever bribe me, because I stand as a true Nigerian and as a true son of Plateau man, as a true son of Plateau State, rather. You have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Young T. The number is still to call 0905566699 or 0812187777. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
This is Jusa for situation.
Jusa, go ahead.
I don't have much to say this morning, but what I have to say is we're in a very big problem. Last administration, borrow. We did not see the effect of the borrowing. And this, anyway, the same thing. Because Tinubu say we continue where Buhari stopped. And see the sufferings that they face in Nigerians. And I'm not surprised. And what I have to say this morning is that I don't think Nigeria should expect anything good from this administration. Why I say this thing is that the root or the way they came into power is questionable.
Right.
And on the plateau, the governor is doing wonderful. Go to True Kash Ibrahim. A brand new nylon rule applied for them. And even yesterday, I passed through there with one great like that. I say, leave that area for more than, we call it a Mungo Park Road before. But now, the guy was praising even good things about the governor.
Right.
That they will make sure that by the grace of God, the governor will see the deer, no matter ups and downs of those that are trying to Miss Mariah or do some illegal things over his day in the office.
All right.
So my brother and sister, Abigail.
Yes.
And Emeka, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. We'll head on to our social media platforms this morning for your comments.
On Facebook, we have Carmen here. Phil Kuka Factors, good one, says, may God help us in Nigeria. Sam Austin says, what's the plan of the present day government on the student loan project? I would like to know the next move. Very good. Conclusively, Nigerians talk more than work. A lot of talks here and there, TV shows here and there, radio shows here and there, but the political elites aren't listening. Irony. Principal Joseph Milimu says, bad leadership is our biggest problem. Despite the fuel subsidy removal, they are still borrowing. What are they doing with the 1 trillion they are getting every month from the subsidy? If the National Assembly have the interest of this country, they won't approve any loan for Mr. President. I stand for governance and accountability. Aminu Abdullah, he says, Mr. President will pass the budget. May we hear good news. Amen. Ambassador Joachim Joseph Dung says, I feel so embarrassed when I hear some Plateau people say that the state belongs to either APC or PDP. As far as majority of Plateau people are concerned, we only need a leader who can unite, secure, and bring policies and programs that will prosper the state, regardless of which party he or she comes from. We do not want our states to be donated to any political party. All we want is for our people to be secured in their homes and farms, and also our youth to be gainfully employed. So, Plateau does not belong to any political party. That notion is deceitful to some of us. David Max Ambo says, we the youth vanguard, under the mantra of equipping the next generation, wishes to draw the attention of the RP Court, House of Reps members, to one day thugs who go against vandalizing billboards of a distinguished former senator, former House of Reps member, says do not win elections in courts, but under the ballots, popular candidates do not seduce stereotyping or victimize your opponents to gain popularity. The rascality that is going on about destroying the honorable members' billboard is unacceptable. We condemn this act of thuggery, and the people should be warned, and their paymasters as well, he says. Julius Achigak says, the story I'm following is the loan Mr. President wants to collect. Borrowing cannot solve Nigeria's problem, but investing in industrialization, infrastructures, and other critical sectors that can generate more revenue for the country is our solution. God bless GFM and Plateau State. Godwin Sule says, the story I'm following up is that President Tinubu tells Senate to approve a loan of $1 billion. It's not $1 billion. It's 8.6, yes? 8.6. 8.6, the new one.
It's a new one.
8.6 billion. It is going to be used as economy in bank sectors. Mr. President, please, food are very, very expensive.
There's a $1 billion from African Development
Bank. Oh, from African Development Bank.
Yes.
Okay. Forgive me. Mr. President, please, the food are very expensive in the market. Can you do some things for the masses? The major problem we have is fuel in the country. Says it has made everything go up. Ayodele Agbabiake says, it is just unfortunate the citizens don't care as the leaders are. Accountability from these leaders, not begging for stomach infrastructure. Pastor Henry Dewey says, it is very unfortunate that we have leaders who always borrow money that the next generation would not be able to pay back. To settle themselves, family and friends, to tell you the truth, I weep daily for my country, Nigeria, because of what has befallen us. Who has bewitched us? And how did we get here with this high level of corruption? Prince Jake says, I learned that Mr. President is seeking the Senate approval to borrow $8.6 billion for completion of projects. My question is, how important are those projects to the Nigerian populace? Are those projects going to generate income to pay back the loans? My advice to Mr. President is that let him cut down the salaries and allowances of the National Assembly members. Assembly members, ministers, and the presidential villa, so he can get the money for those projects.
They will protest.
Young Solomon says, the cane falling state of the Nigerian educational sector. Very true. My friend Dennis goes, all about politics. Let the truth be told in Plateau State. Okay, I don't understand what that means though. Philip Nyam says, I wish we have sincere leaders and followers and truthful justice system, especially as it concerns Plateau State. And Olarewaju Berry goes, good morning, my magic makers. The budget by the president of Nigeria to just finance their personal expenditures, budget for the masses, is unreal. For Nigeria to develop, we have to cut down the cost of government or else, on God, he says.
And we move now. Okay, I think it's the same comment right here from Julius Achigag, who is on X this morning. Well, a lot of Nigerians are more concerned about what these borrowings are for. And we know that, yes, for every country to survive, there are bits borrowing here and there. But at the same time, how do we pay back? That is a question beckoning for answers. How do we pay back these loans? I was just, on a lighter note, I was thinking to myself, I'll probably give birth and have kids, and the kids will have kids, and the kids will have kids, and probably have more kids, and we probably wouldn't have finished paying off our debt as a country.
Well, it happened to some people. It happens. Some nations are still in debt. Say, Greece are still owing about $300 billion.
As some parents will say, some do have them. We just have them. Yeah, we can't really... It happens a lot. It happens to the best of us. But I hope that this morning is that we are borrowing are actually being used appropriately. We're not seeing that somebody is flying for medical. Oh, I remember the past administration, medical tourism was at its peak. It was one travel from one country to another. Well, I hope that this funds will not be used for these things. Well, I want to thank you all for being a part of the show this morning. Don't forget Yeshua Kingdom Foundation, popularly known as Ten Commandments. Pastor Jonah David Jang is inviting you all to her annual Thanksgiving concert with the theme The Way of God, and is featuring word worship and praise from seasoned and anointed God's minister. The preacher, Pastor Emmanuel Kure, will be representing Pastor E. Adeboye, the General Overseer, Redeemed Christian Church of God, and a special goodwill message from the Chief Host by Sir Caleb Manasseh Mofan, the Executive Governor of Plateau State, and music by Moses Bliss, Apostle Dabs, G. Wills, Steve Willis, Ezra Jinang, and Nikeng Chuang. Date, 1st December 2023, venue, 10 Commandment Monument, Dweju, Jos, South Local Government, Plateau State. And the time is 3 p.m., so be there. The news comes up by 10 o'clock. Keep your eyes locked on to J 101.9 FM from Mimi Kalmisi.
Stay out of trouble, spread love, and seek the truth.
Good morning.
It is that time of the year to bring sizzlers worship.